You know, not too many people emphasize the fact of singing the chorus of How Great Thou Art properly. We learn hymns wrong, and then we have to be straightened out after a while. And so he said, no syncopation. I was saying to someone at the table today that there was a man in Ireland who was having problems with his health. And so his wife said, why don't you go to the doctor? So he went to see the doctor, and when he came home, his wife said, what did the doctor say? He said, the doctor said I had syncopation. And she said, syncopation, never heard of that. So looked it up in the dictionary. And the definition is irregular movement from bar to bar. He was having a drinking problem. Anyway, that chorus of that hymn isn't syncopated. Another hymn that always, everywhere I go, that Victory in Jesus, the verse of Victory in Jesus, and the end of the verse, everybody sings it wrong. They can learn it wrong all over the world. And then somebody like Ernie Woodhouse has to straighten everybody else out in the world. Well, I am delighted to be here. I really am. It's a real pleasure to be at Park of the Palms. We looked around the whole grounds today. Wonderful, quiet place. I was also almost afraid to sneeze in case I'd wake everybody up in the afternoon. But I am delighted to be here. It's great to be a Christian, right? Right. Thank you. You know, sometimes I like the word lively in the King James Bible, where it says we have a lively hope. And we, in Christ, are lively stones. And say, well, the word lively means living. Yes, it does. But you see, lively is living, but living isn't always lively. And sometimes when I'm preaching, I ask people to blink, just in case. You know, I want to make sure you're alive. We are in the Song of Songs, chapter 1. Yes, this morning I talked about kisses in the Word of God. And it says in verse 2 of chapter 1 of Song of Solomon, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And we talked about the kiss of accordance, Psalm 85:10, in which it says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other, and that took place at the cross. Because where there is no righteousness, there is no peace. And of course, that's why the Bible says it's when we are declared righteous by faith that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is also true universally. And you remember that the Lord Jesus in Hebrews chapter 7 was called a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, first of all, means king of righteousness, and he was also king of Salem, which was king of peace. And it says he was first of all king of righteousness, after that also king of peace. And one day there will be peace, won't there? Because the king of righteousness will come, and righteousness shall cover this whole earth, and there will be peace, universally, because Christ sits on the throne. And we talked about those kisses this morning. I'm not going to go over all of that again. You can kiss later. Now, in the next verse of this chapter, it says, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Now, this is a girl who's talking about her beloved and his name. And she says, thy name is as ointment poured forth. And I want to talk about his name tonight because it's wonderful. Over in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it indicates, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He's got a great shoulder, doesn't he? I like that, because the fact is, he's got a shoulder that's able to hold up the universe. And yet, like the good shepherd in Luke chapter 15, we referred to that chapter this morning in the message, when the shepherd went and sought for the lost sheep, because it was loved by the shepherd, and when he found it, it was lifted onto his shoulders as he rejoiced, and it was landed, he brought it home. God will land you in heaven. Christ will land you in heaven. And we're lifted onto his shoulders, and all of that power is supporting us. We've got security on his shoulders. Wonderful, wonderful truth. And it says his name shall be called Wonderful, and gives you all the rest of the list. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Christ has a wonderful name. Now I want to talk about a few things tonight concerning his name. First of all, the significance of his name. And when you talk about the Lord's name, and we talk about being gathered in his name, and preaching in his name, right? And we say, what does that signify? What is the name of the Lord associated with? Well, the name of the Lord significantly is associated with his character, who he is, and what he does. Now, I want you to turn over to the book of Exodus. But because of my Irish accent, sometimes I go into a meeting and I say, Exodus. I'm not sure whether to turn to Acts or this. All right? Now, Exodus chapter 33. Now, in this particular chapter, of course, Moses makes a wonderful request. Because in this chapter, he says to the Lord in verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I think that's a wonderful request, isn't it? Show me thy glory. And here's what God said, verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the what? The name of the Lord before thee. So the name of the Lord is going to be associated with his goodness. His goodness. And by the way, when I come to Christ as a sinner, as I mentioned this morning, so many years ago on that train in Belfast in Ireland, I was brought to repentance by God's goodness. That's how I was brought there. Because over in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, the writer to the Romans, Paul says, he says that there are people who despise the riches of God's goodness, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to what? Repentance. It's the riches of God's goodness that leads people to repentance. I was preaching the other night saying to some folks, you know, sometimes if you're in a meeting and you're a sinner, you feel uncomfortable. I'm finding that today there are churches and they want sinners to feel comfortable in church. Right? Now, why would sinners feel comfortable in a meeting? Why would a burglar feel comfortable if he switched the light on when he's breaking into a safe? He's uncomfortable. And the fact is that sometimes God, in his goodness, is convincing people of their sins, showing them their need, because he wants to lead them to repentance. And his goodness is associated with his name. And of course, in this particular chapter, he says, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And so grace is associated with his name. That's another part of his character. You know, I love the subject of grace, don't you? The grace of God. That's why in my ministry, I call it Grace Bible Ministries. My favorite verse in the Word of God is over in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, where Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You see, what he's saying in that chapter is that after Jesus died and was buried and rose again, he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. He says, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Then he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And then he indicates, last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time, or born prematurely. And then he adds this, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not meet, I'm not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But then he added this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. I think it's a marvelous subject because there's more grace than there is sin. And that grace is associated with his name. That mercy which comes from God's grace is associated with his name. That's his character. His glory and his goodness and his grace are associated with his name. And by the way, when it talks about the riches of the Christian in the New Testament, you remember, I mentioned there in Romans 2, verse 4, the riches of his goodness leads us to repentance. And then when we get saved, over in Ephesians chapter 1, one of the blessings which is found in Christ is, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It doesn't say out of the riches of his grace, but according to the riches of his grace, which means that the amount of forgiveness is determined by the measure of grace that provides it. And I can tell you this, I could never measure the grace of God. And I cannot limit the forgiveness God gave me when I get saved. I was teaching in a Bible class one night and trying to emphasize to the people how exciting it was to know this. That when you come and you're saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, associated with his name is the riches of his grace. And according to the riches of that grace, our sins are forgiven. And then I said this, all of our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven because of the work of Christ. It is finished. We sang about that tonight, choir, right? By the way, I enjoyed that. Was there a special on green tie? It must have been. Irish tie. Anyway, it made you good looking anyway, all of you. But you know, when you're singing that great song, it is finished. It means this, that Jesus Christ took the whole problem of sin and dealt with it and put it away. But anyway, when I said that your sins are forgiven by the judge, past, present, and future, there's a man away at the back who obviously didn't agree with me. He went like this. And so I thought he hadn't heard me right. So I raised my voice. I said, now I want to repeat this. That when you come as a sinner and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that moment, the judge, on the basis of the finished work of Christ, forgives all of your sins, past, present, and future. This time he nearly took his head off the hinges. He went, no. So after the meeting, I went down to the back and I said, sir, you didn't seem to agree with me. He says, no, I didn't. It was a terrible thing to say. I said, why was it? He said, I can understand how, through Christ, and his finished work, that all of my past sins are forgiven. And I can understand that when I got saved, all of my present sins were forgiven. But he said, I can't understand how you could say that all my future sins were forgiven when I got saved. Well, I said to him, I said, sir, how long ago did Jesus die? Well, he said, almost 2,000 years ago. I said, sir, how many of your sins were past when Jesus died? He said, none of them. I said, how many of your sins were present when Jesus died? He said, none of them. Now I said, how many of your sins were future when Jesus died? He said, all of them. That settled that one. I said, you see, all of our sins, you see, one of the marvelous things of this wonderful grace, which is associated with his name, that's the significance of his name, is the character that he has in relation to his grace, is the fact that it took care of all sin, all of it. I have a message that I preach in Joshua chapter 4, and chapter 3 and chapter 4. When you remember, they came to the Jordan, and last week I hear Sam Smith taught on Egypt to Canaan. I asked our brother Gilbert, did he get you across the Jordan? I wouldn't want them to leave you in the wilderness. But anyway, but they came to the Jordan, and you remember that when they went across the Jordan, they put 12 stones in the midst of the river, and they put 12 stones in Gilgal. And they were there for a memorial so that they would remember in time to come what happened. And when their children would come and say, now listen, What mean these stones? What do these stones mean? They would be able to say, well, we can look back to that time when the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant stepped into the river and the waters rolled back. And one of the things they would remember is this. That when they looked at that water rolling back and rolling back and rolling away all the way back, that in Joshua chapter 4, it says that those waters of death and judgment roll back to a city called Adam. Isn't that something? All the way back to Adam. By the way, that's true, isn't it? That when Jesus died, and Jesus went down into the depths, and Jesus suffered death and judgment, that the marvel of the grace of God is that all sin, all the way back to Adam, was taken care of. And thank God it ruled the other way, didn't it, to the like of us tonight. All my sins are gone. All because of Calvary. And so his name is associated with his grace. The riches of his goodness led us to repentance, and the riches of his grace, according to which all of our sins are gone, is a wonderful thing. Aren't you excited about that? I said, aren't you excited about that? Thank you. I'm excited about it. I really am. I think it's a wonderful thing. All gone. You know, Stanton Gibbett. Maybe you've ever heard of Stanton Gibbett. You've heard of Stanton Gibbett. Stanton Gibbett was the man who wrote, I'm so happy, and here's the reason why, before he got married. Now, I didn't say that's why he wrote it. I said that's when he wrote it. He wrote that chorus before he got married. And he was singing, I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus, what? Took my burdens all away, singing because his sins were gone. Now, after he got married, he wrote another chorus called, Things Are Different Now. Now, I know, you're jumping into conclusions. That's not why. I said, that's when he wrote it. And he did. And folks, that's what, this whole joy thing is not just something you put on. The fact is, when I realize all my sins are what? Gone. Never to be remembered against me anymore. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed my transgressions from me. Thank God for that. That's exciting. Means I'm perfectly clean in the sight of God, all because associated with his wonderful name is to the riches of his grace. Not only his goodness and his grace, but his glory is associated with that name. And once again, after you become a Christian, do you remember that wonderful prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14, the apostle Paul said, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the what? Riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's according to the riches of his glory. And you'll find that goodness and that grace and that glory in Jesus Christ. It's through his name. As you remember, that in Philippians 4:19, that Paul said, And my God shall supply all your what? Needs. This is a great day. This week and so forth, these past few weeks have been very difficult for us from a human standpoint, and with Joanna and so forth in her room tonight, not feeling well and all of that. And I want to tell you, I'd rather suffer myself. I really would. It's hard to watch your kids, right? You understand that? It really is. It really is. And so, day by day, we need a lot of things. We need patience. We need love. We need understanding. We need to be caring. We need all of that, but thank God we've got a Savior. He's got a wonderful name. And associated with that name is the riches of his what? Glory! So in spite of the circumstance, we can still praise God. Isn't that good? That's the way it ought to be tonight. Now you may be here tonight with other problems. You may be sick too. You may not feel as good as you used to. You certainly don't look as good as you, I'm sure. I don't know what you were like before, but I'm sure you weren't like that all your life. Not at all. But in spite of that, you know, one of the hymns to me that I love, and it's been given to children. You know what they say? We're going to sing a children's hymn. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. But not only little ones, but senior ones to him belong, right? They are weak, but he is what? Strong. Yeah. Isn't that a great hymn? Isn't that a great hymn? Yeah. Well, certainly. We're going to sing it. Let's sing that verse. Ready? Jesus loves me, this I know.
For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
You'll find all of that in his wonderful name. Because you see, the significance of his name is associated with his what? Character. His character. Now, let me talk about the sweetness of his name. In that verse we quoted from Song of Solomon, chapter 1, it says, because of the savor of thy good ointment, and I want to tell you that it's good ointment, isn't it, when it comes to Christ. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Ointment poured forth. Fragrant, sweet, wonderful. And by the way, if you go through your hymn book there, and I was just looking across the page there from the other hymn we sung, that beautiful name. But in the other page it says, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. You see, what makes this meeting fragrant tonight is because he's here. Isn't that right? What makes the Lord's table fragrant is because he's there. Right. We're looking at him and his death, and what a sweet thing it is. Remember that story in John 12? When Mary took that box of ointment, very costly, and she broke it, poured it upon her Savior. And the Bible says this, the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. That's what makes our meetings different, isn't it? When the atmosphere is filled with the fragrance and the sweetness of his wonderful name. We've got a wonderful Savior, folks. And he's here. He is here. Think of that. You know, we advertise meetings and conferences and so on, and rightly so, and we tell about the preacher that's here. Well, there'll be something you put in the paper. We're going to have meetings, such and such a date, and Jesus Christ will be there. Well, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Because you see, the name of Jesus is so sweet. I love this music to repeat. It makes my life full and complete, the precious name of Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. But you see, he not only has a significant name and a sweet name, but a very strong one. Turn to Acts chapter 3 in your Bible, New Testament, Acts chapter 3. And in the third chapter of the book of Acts, you remember that after the disciples had been filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, at the beginning of Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Very significant hour, by the way. You were singing about that hour tonight. The ninth hour was the hour when he said what? It is finished. It was the ninth hour. It was the hour of suffering for the Savior. And in this particular verse, it's the hour of supplication for the saints. And in Acts chapter 10, the ninth hour was the hour of salvation for a sinner, Cornelius. By the way, because of Calvary, we're able to pray and sinners can be saved. The ninth hour. Great time. Now, when they went up there, look at verse 2 of chapter 3 of Acts. It says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. He's begging of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. By the way, Spirit-filled Christians will see the need on their doorstep. Right? Right? You'll see the need on your doorstep. Because the Holy Ghost will have your eyes. Spirit-filled Christians will be going up at the hour of prayer, won't they? That's where they were. And the Holy Ghost will have your tongue, because Peter, looking at this man, fastening his eyes upon him, said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Notice, it's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, I like that, because you see some of these things on TV, you know what I mean? They say the work's just started, and keep on believing it may happen in 6 months, you know. So. By the way, when the Lord does a job, he does a good one. When the Lord saves sinners, he does it immediately. And it says, immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood. Now he had sat there all his life, because he was crippled from the day he was born. Now he's leaping up and he's standing, and it says he walked and entered with them into the temple. Man, can you imagine if this ever happened in an assembly? He's walking and leaping and praising God. Boy, that shocked our system. He goes in there walking and leaping and praising God. Why not? If you're crippled from you were born, I think you'd be excited, wouldn't you? Right? That's why, by the way, in this whole business, I was a crippled sinner when I got saved. I couldn't walk one step on the pathway to heaven. And because of the strength in his name, for the first time in my life, I was able to stand. Because he is able to make me stand, isn't he? It's an old chorus. Have you ever heard that chorus? He is able to make me stand. Have you ever heard that one, Ernie? He is able to make me stand. He will hold me by his hand. He will keep my feet on the King's highway. Till I reach the land of perfect day. He is able, he is able, he is able to make me stand. And he is. In his name, this man, first time in his life, he stood. And then he walked. And he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, of course, the people looked as they came in, and they were wondering, how did this happen? And you notice in verse 16, where they're giving the people the answer, and they said, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." There's strength in that name. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel, is that in the name of Jesus Christ, associated with his name, is the power to take crippled, broken lives and change them. That's wonderful. Change them so radically. And by the way, we're living in a day when we see people talking about conversion, but they're not converted. You know what I mean? No change. Well, I believe in conversion, don't you? That changes your life. There's a group in Belfast in Ireland called the Coleman's Testimony Band. There's a man called Dodger Spence. His name was Sammy Spence. He was a stevedore at the docks. He unloaded coal boats. And he was drunk. Matter of fact, they used to say that it took 4 policemen or Sammy's wife to bring him home when he was drunk. His wife was a big woman. And when he got saved, he was really excited. I mean, Sammy Spence, we rejoiced in his salvation. And he started a group called the Coleman's Testimony Band. They're a group of converted drunks who worked at the docks, and they took gospel meetings. And he used to get these men to give their testimony. I can still see those converted drunkards standing up on the platform singing, "My old companions, fare thee well. I will not go with thee to hell." And Sammy was a little short man, and he was the leader, and he would preach. And then one of these fellows would give his testimony about how he used to beat his wife and knock her through the wall, wreck the house before he got saved. Now he was transformed by the grace of God, and through the name of Christ, his life was changed. And Sammy would get up after he'd give his testimony and say, well, now I want to tell you something. There's one person in this building that knows whether this is true or not. It's his wife. And he'd say, Mary, stand up. And the wife would stand up. And Sammy would say, Mary, is he converted? Is he changed? And the big tears would roll down that little woman's face. And she would say, Sammy, it's me that knows it. It's me that knows it. That's the kind of salvation we should believe in, isn't it? Changes homes! Years ago when they had evangelistic meetings, they sung that hymn, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart, but they changed the chorus and there was such a move of the Spirit in the town, they sung, Since Jesus Came Into Our Town. The devil's been wearing a frown. Many hearts have been changed, many homes rearranged, since Jesus came into our town. And so what happened was, the leaders of the people didn't like this, that through the name of Jesus, this man who'd been crippled all his life was now made whole. And they arrested Peter and John. And they asked them to give an account of what name accomplished this. Now look at Acts chapter 4, please. And in Acts chapter 4, you'll find there that Peter is asked the question, in verse 7, it says, when they had set them in the midst, they said, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And then it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the what? Together, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And then he gives us those wonderful verses. This is the stone which was set at naught, zero, of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What a name. What he's saying is, it was the strength, the power associated with the name of Jesus Christ, whom ye crucified and God raised from the dead, that made this man stand before you whole. Here's a couple of unlearned, ignorant fishermen. But they weren't talking like unlearned, ignorant fishermen. That's what these people are amazed at. I worked in the shipyards in the old country. And I knew a lot of the men that came out of the shipyards, the Wilsons and so on, came out of the shipyards. And every day at noon hour, on every ship and every workshop, there was a Bible class where all the believers gathered together to study the Word of God. I remember the day after I got saved, I went to the shipyard and the fellow who had prayed for me, matter of fact, he told me afterwards, he thought I was a hopeless case. He said, I prayed for you, but I really couldn't imagine you getting saved. But here you are. And they asked me to go to the Bible class, and I went to the Bible class, and we all sat in our toolboxes. Everybody brought their lunch. Those days, you wrapped it up in a sheet of the newspaper. And if you had tomato sandwiches, you could read the news of the sandwiches. Very convenient. And we'd sit there with the sandwiches and the tea, and they'd open their Bibles. And I remember looking around all these men, and probably the greatest education there was in the group was about grade 5. Or grade 6. And I sat there amazed when I heard of these people talking about the sacrifice of Christ and the offerings in Leviticus, and I didn't know how to find Leviticus. God, through Christ, had changed their lives. You know what happened to these men? It says when these leaders looked at these men, Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them had been with who? Jesus. Wouldn't it be good if people looked at us today? They've been with Jesus. You can tell. You listen. They've been with Jesus. One more thought and we are finished. That's what you call famous last words of preacher. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. the superiority of his name. Yet now in Philippians chapter 2 is that great chapter where we talk about the Lord Jesus stooping down on our behalf that we might be saved. And beginning with verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And folks, that's put there for our learning. And what God is saying is this, that the same attitude that Jesus had toward us as sinners, which made him stoop all the way down to the cross, is the same attitude we should have toward each other. Sometimes that's hard, isn't it? And then it says in the next verse, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a name. Above every other name. Superior to every other name. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian, I am not going to ask you, will you bow your knee to Jesus Christ, to his name, because you will. You will. You may not do it tonight, but one day you'll do it, because the Bible says whether it's in heaven or earth or hell, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It'd be wonderful if you did it tonight. Left here transformed by the grace of God. Wonderful experience. The superiority of his name. You know, why should we be ashamed of it? Eh? You can go into a grocery store and probably be people there tomorrow and maybe they were watching golf today and they watched who won, and the level of shirt across the store, you know, and mention the name, so-and-so won. And other people turn around and say, yeah, wasn't that interesting? I saw the game too. Wonder what would happen if you're in a grocery store and you shouted all the way across the store, Jesus won! Right? Wonder what the manager would think. Or the people you shouted at would think, you know what I mean? Some other Christian. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus won. I mean, a great time at the meeting yesterday. And it was, who let them in? Fanatics? By the way, there's nothing fanatical about being excited about the name of Jesus Christ. It is superior. Above all names. We sung it, didn't we? Jesus' name above all names. Beautiful Savior. Glorious Lord. And at the end of the Word of God, when Jesus rides forth from heaven, in Revelation chapter 19, that on his vesture will be a name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The sovereignty of his name. Every king will bow to him. Every potentate will fall before. As a matter of fact, all of those rulers and great men of the earth who have rejected him are going to be on the menu for the fowls of the air when there's the supper of the great God when Jesus comes. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We've got a great Savior, folks. He's got a marvelous, wonderful name. Very significant. Very sweet. Very strong. Very superior. Very sovereign. We're on the winning side. No one can defeat him. By the way, when he rides forth at that time, we're going to be with him. And our uniform will be linen. Irish linen. Right. Let's stand together. And just a cappella. We will sing that chorus again. Jesus' name above all names. Are we ready?
Jesus' name above all names. Beautiful Savior. Glorious Lord. Emmanuel. God is with us. Blessed Redeemer, living Word.
Let's thank him. Dear Lord, thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for us, finished the work as the choir sung tonight. There remaineth no more to be done. And now he has ascended into heaven, and there's an unfinished work in which he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We thank you for his wonderful name. Send us out of here to appreciate it more, to be excited, thrilled, that in his name, which is wonderful, we have been saved. And help us to take that name to a world that needs him. Share that message with others. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his